If you have a Bible with you, you can turn to the book of Acts. We'll be in chapter 15. There you go. We continue our journey with Paul as we look to consider the kingdom of God and the spread of the gospel and the lessons learned from others' lives. That's a valuable thing if we are willing to learn from others. Far too often I look back and wish I would have learned or listened to the advice of others. Often we stubbornly press forward thinking that we are different or that maybe we know better. More and more and more, I hate to say sometimes, but you know, my dad was often right. As much as it pains me to admit it sometimes. And we have the same thing when we read God's Word. Particularly these narrative kind of stretches of things. We're seeing a story unfold. We are seeing, and what's great about the Bible, I love, is that it doesn't seek to cover up the mistakes. We see the rawness sometimes, the just ridiculousness, how in the Old Testament of Israel, are just stupid. And you wonder, how in the world can they act this way or turn back so quickly from God? And the Bible doesn't sugarcoat it. Shows us people who we are and begs us then. I think God is saying, look, please. Learn, read, see it, understand it. And this book of Acts, I think, offers us the same thing. As you read these passages to look at them and see the lives of Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and the ups and downs that they have. And we're going to look at some ups and downs today, I think. And seek God to give us wisdom in our hearts to understand. But in chapter 15, we'll start at verse 36. We left off with a very encouraging get-together in Jerusalem. The issue of circumcision and whether it is necessary for salvation is, for the most part, settled. And they're going out with that. So starting at verse 36 of chapter 15, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.' Now Barnabas wanted to take with him John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily." One of the challenges that we face as believers in our world is, you know, as churches, we have individual churches and, you know, throughout our city and our state and our land and around the world, is how, in our context of today, how do we live with each other to show who is our Lord? How do we reach out to those around us in a world that is different, that is not seeking God? How do we live our lives? How does the church best live out the kingdom of God, the principles in that? Because you may not know this, but even in churches, people are people. Even in churches who love God, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, who are full of the Spirit, will disagree or fight, sometimes in vicious and ugly ways. You know, there's always tales out there of churches splitting over carpet color, literally. I was part of a church in Fargo that had a split in its past. And so there's one church downtown Fargo, and then the split, they started a church over on the other side of town. And And I inquired about it, and there was a lot of, they didn't really remember exactly. There's a lot of stories about why they split. But it seems like it was over money and how they should spend money on repairs of the church. You just hang your head sometimes. But I know that, well, I am not innocent in my own heart sometimes of how we feel toward each other. So we have to learn how to muddy through these things. And today we see a couple of interesting stories of how ministry is starting to expand and how they're just working it out in the churches and with their ministry teams of what they should do. We see in this first story then of when Paul and Barnabas were seeking to go to visit their churches. That's what we saw before. In the first journey, you know, when they went up to Cyprus and then up into Pamphylia and around Lystra and Iconium and then back around. And so Paul, in his heart, as a pastor, said, well, I want to go back and see these people, make sure they're okay. Because, again, it's hard to sometimes remember the amount of time that are taking place in between these stories. Months, years are going by, just in travel time, but also in just the things that they're doing. So Paul had in his heart a desire to go back to these churches. And Barnabas too. Now Barnabas and Paul, we see, have been good friends, ministry partners. I mean, Barnabas, his nickname, the Encourager, stood by Paul when no one else would. When everyone else was afraid of him, Barnabas said, no, I've seen the Spirit of God in this man. I will stand by him. And so as they planned to leave, interestingly, between good friends and ministry partners, a sharp disagreement arose. And again, we don't know how they went at it, but it was over Barnabas' cousin, Mark. Now, if you remember from a few weeks ago, when they were leaving Cyprus to sail across, Mark abandoned them. He went home. We don't know why. We don't know the story. We have no idea. But he left. But apparently, Paul, as they were seeking to go on again, said, you know what? I don't trust the guy. I don't, you know, I mean, you think about the precarious situations they're in. I mean, here's Paul. I mean, he's been stoned, tossed out of towns. I mean, left for dead, all these things. And so he wants people around him that he trusts, that are not going to abandon him. And then we contrast that with Barnabas, who was, again, the Encourager, a man full of grace. And he wanted to give him a second chance. And maybe that was the conflict here. Was it mission? Paul, focused, desiring, you know, I have the goal. I know I want to go. And Barnabas, the Encourager, the people person, the guy of the second chance, even as he lifted Paul up. And so I can imagine the argument going back and forth. Paul said, you can't count that guy. We have a mission. We got work to do. And if I can't count the guy, I don't want him. And Barnabas is going, who are you? Do you remember back when you were first saved, when Christ came to you? Who stood by you? Who gave you a second chance? And so they, I mean, again, we don't have a lot of detail, but I'm imagining the language of sharp disagreement. They were at each other, at odds. You think, what do you do? What do we do with these conflicts that come up in any situation, any kind of, you get more than one person in a room, and guess what? You're bound to have conflict at some point, all right? And sometimes even just one. I don't know about you, but I argue with myself all the time. It's frustrating. That's our nature, our selfishness, our desires, and so even with ourselves, that the battle of the spirit and our flesh can be there. And here we have this battle. Who's right? Who's wrong? Now, as they resolved, they just went their separate ways. Was it amicable? I don't know. Did they leave each other in a huff? I don't know. Was it a mistake? I don't know. it's hard to tell. You know, they don't give us a lot of detail, but I think as you look at overall, I mean, that's not our desire. Our desire is for peace. Now, we have the good news is that there's indication in the Bible that Paul and Barnabas reconciled, that they were together in ministry again. If you go to 1 Corinthians 9, Paul talks of Barnabas and Mark again. Colossians 4:10, he talks about Mark in particular, so there seems to be a reconciliation there. In fact, in 2 Timothy, Paul specifically asks that they send Mark to him. So apparently Mark had become valuable to him. And our book, our Gospel of Mark, is written, we think, by him. which is one of the first Gospels written down and put on paper. So some good came. And so I think we see a looking up for Barnabas and give him a second chance. On the other hand, we have Paul go his separate way, and good things happen there. The ministry was spread more. I think in the sovereignty of God, even in a conflict, if we can look at it as not being the best, but we see the ministry was able to spread more. That Paul didn't have to go to Cyprus and see those churches. See, okay, Barnabas can do that, and then it'll expand from there. How do we deal with conflict? I think there's a couple things we can take away from this little story here. One, when you're involved in a dispute, whatever it is, pray for the ability to see both sides rather than just your own. I imagine Paul and Barnabas, again, from every indication we have here, Paul was a focused, driven individual. All right? I mean, a zeal. Whatever he did, he went for it. Before Christ, he was passionate about God and the resurrection and bringing God's glory, not in correct ways. And afterwards, we see he was passionate to the point of being stoned and shipwrecked and beaten and whipped. And even then, his desire was always forward, forward, forward. I want to go farther. I want to go more. Let's get up to Greece. Let's get up to Rome. I want to go on to Spain. I want to keep going. Let's get it out there. And so Paul and Barnabas had this conflicting view of mission and ministry, of focus on going out and the people that you're involved with. And we need both. We need both. We have to, in our ministry, we have to remember to, we want to be going forward, but we also don't want to leave wounded people behind. And so that skill of compassion and empathy is so important, to be able to think about what the other person is thinking. How are they looking at it? These are brothers and sisters in Christ. And folks, this skill is a valuable one in all of our lives, in every aspect of our life. As Christians, as believers who have the Spirit of God, we should be able to, more than anyone, have that skill of empathy and willingness to get off yourself and think and consider what the other person is thinking. You know, I come back to it all the time, but how much in our lives, apart even from churches, is centered around conflict and the desire to be right and desire for my way and what I want. Our whole political system is based upon that premise, it seems like. Are we willing? Are we really willing, even as we talked about last week, to look at people who don't agree with us, even in just terrible ways, and just consider how they're thinking or how they could possibly think like. You know, I talked about abortion last week. And we look at it as something that's a terrible thing. And again, most people, in all honesty, most folk agree that abortion is not a good thing. Okay, we can go there. Are we willing to really consider the person who, and think about how they think about it, and be really honestly willing to come alongside them in that? Are we really honestly, can we sit with someone who has a different political view than us and really think about how they think about it? That maybe they have perspective that I don't? It's an important thing. And Paul and Barnabas didn't quite get it here, it seems like. They were struggling with that empathy in their focuses, and so they split. Paul, I think later, begins to understand this more and more. We read, like in Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's what we're talking about here. As we look at conflict within a church or in our family, in personal relationships, the call of Christ, the way of the cross, is to consider the other over ourselves and go in their shoes and come alongside them. I think also then, we want to see the other side. We also want to understand that if both sides of an issue have points, so to speak, have a reasonable support, I guess, then we should seek ways to wisely compromise. Are we willing to compromise? Are we willing to not have everything we want for the sake of peace, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom of God? Other times when we can see the other person's view and say, yeah, I kind of understand. Could Paul have looked at the situation with Mark and thought, oh, yes, I understand. I mean, I should, more than anyone, should understand grace. I'm really struggling. I'm really struggling with trusting this guy. Can I compromise here? Can Barnabas see Paul's point of view, the guy who got stoned and was left for dead, and understand, Okay, I can kind of see it. Can we talk about this? Can we compromise? And maybe, well, maybe this was the compromise. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe they, you know, it's easy to kind of read the mistake here as a split, but maybe that was the compromise. Maybe they said, you know what? I tell you what, Barnabas, you go that way, I'll go this way for the glory of God. And their brothers there, I don't know. But we need to be willing. If we go in the other person's shoes and we can see and understand that there are other points of view, that maybe a compromise is a good thing. Not even maybe. Yes, compromise is a good thing. Wise counsel. Wise compromise. Now, of course, there are things that we need to stand firm on. No doubt about it. But if we consider others as more important than ourselves, it seems to me that compromise should happen more often than not in these situations. Thirdly, if I think about if a conflict persists, something that's just difficult, even in the struggle to compromise, our natural desire is to flee, right? That is, okay, fine, whatever, and just go apart. Again, maybe that's what Paul and Barnabas did here. Maybe that's what this was. Maybe it wasn't a compromise. Maybe it was just a fine, go your own way kind of thing. But our call as cruciform, meaning cross-shaped people, right, is to stay with it, to stay with each other. Is that, you know, in our the state of marriage in our culture does not have any of that in it, does it? It seems like with people, if the first little bump comes in the road and they say, I'm out of here. And our culture says, okay, that's fine. You know, hey, do what's best for you. Do what's okay for you. Make sure that you do what makes you feel the best. Now, I'm not, again, not to have people in abuse, not to acknowledge the importance of self-care. I mean, we have to, you know, understand ourselves. Paul says, you mean, you care for yourself, for others as you would your own body, assumes that you're desiring to take care of your own body, but there has to be a desire to stick with things. Again, that's what the message of Christ and the cross is. That's a message of grace. And if we honestly look at our own lives and say how Christ has stuck with us, how that every time I screw up, every time I sin and I acknowledge that sin, I can still come to the cross, I'm still covered by the grace of God, that the truth of Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, is true always, then we stick with it. We don't give up on people. We don't give up on folks easily. We stay with each other. Maybe that's what Paul and Barnabas did here. I hope that's the case. And certainly was later for them. But fourthly, sometimes, a parting of the way is best. Now, again, that parting could be actual, okay, split. That parting may be, you know what? We agree to disagree. And you just leave it there. And we could do that too. We could, couldn't we? If we disagree about something so harshly that we just can't seem to go, can we just say, okay, we'll just live with it? That may be the case. Now, if there's a decision to be made, then it makes it a little different. But sometimes there's things we can just hang on to, and you can hang on to that, and I'll hang on to this, and we can still love each other and live with each other and do ministry with each other and show the world that we can get along. Sometimes that's best. And maybe, again, that's what happened here. I like to think so. And we certainly see the results that God can use and heal. And that's probably the best thing, the message we see here, is that in this expansive ministry, the kingdom of God spreading, great things happening. We see, I mean, look at what it says. You know, when we get to the end, as they went out, and we'll see in a little bit here, that the churches are growing more and more and more. And that's the exciting thing, that we can get by these things. We can see God working. So we see to be faithful to God above all things. Even if the other person isn't, we stay faithful and we seek peace in all things. Well, so they split ways. Barnabas took Mark to Cyprus, which is normal because that's where Barnabas is from. Paul went up to strengthen the churches. So he goes back. Now, again, there's probably quite a bit of time here, but I can't help as I read this. It weirds me out a little bit. This is where they stoned him, okay? He went back to the place where the people took him and threw big rocks at him to kill him. And he went back there. Such was his love for these people. I just love that about Paul. Even as we maybe think he was a little harsh or ministry focused and maybe left people aside here, we see the pastoral heart of Paul here. We really do, and I love that. So Paul gets another person with him, Silas, which became a great friend for him. And they go north to visit those churches. So they go up and through Cilicia to Tarsus. I think maybe Paul, that's where he's from, so maybe saw family. Hey folks, remember me? And then he went across the Derby and the Lystra and Iconium in that area there, and to see the churches there. And then we come to this very interesting little event. We are introduced to Timothy. Now, Timothy becomes very prominent in Paul's life. A young man, so we can talk about, you know, the value of bringing up people alongside to train them and continue them on. But Paul saw something in Timothy. Interesting guy is his mom was a Jew. His father was a Greek. How that came about, I don't know. That's weird, you know, considering the culture. But it happened. And it's interesting in that culture, though, if the mother was a Jew and the father was a Greek, the Jewish folk thought of him as a Jew. Okay? If there's any Jew, it's Jew. All right, that is that important to them, all right? So that's how the Jewish people look at him. And I think that comes into play here because we have this thing. He gets Timothy circumcised. Now you read it, and even as I read it again, you think, that doesn't make any sense at all, does it? I mean, didn't we just have a huge fight over this issue? Didn't Paul stand toe-to-toe with almost everybody? Peter and the rulers and these people of repute from Jerusalem, the mother church, didn't you stand right up to them and say, no, 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 we can't do this. Circumcision is not important. You can't have it to be saved. And he turns around and says, oh, Timothy, hey, by the way, buddy, you need to get circumcised. What is going on here? Is Paul being a hypocrite? It seems like, doesn't it? It just seems like, I wonder if you know, if some of these guys who were out of that circumcision party ever looked at Paul and said, ah, ha, 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 look what you did. But here's the thing, I think. And Paul cared. He just didn't care what they thought. And here's why. For Paul, there was one consuming, underlying drive and passion above all things. And that was the gospel. Period. That's all he wanted. In Galatians 6:15, Paul writes this. Neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. For Paul, circumcision was just meaningless. Okay? When you started to put it upon as a requirement of salvation, yeah, that'll get him fired up. All right? But he could care less. Circumcision, go ahead. I don't care if you want to. I mean, whatever. It didn't matter to him. What mattered was the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says this. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being under myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I may win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. That's Paul. His underlying principle was always the gospel, and to make it as smooth as possible. And so I think in this situation, bringing Timothy to these other churches, again, remember, got stoned, was beaten, he's saying, you know what, let's just make this as easy as we can. It mentions here in the scripture that people knew that Timothy's mom was a Jew. Okay, so they were going to watch out for it. And Paul says, you know what? Well, God bless Timothy. We kind of forget about this guy, of his willingness to do this. Okay, right, guys? Ouch. Ouch. But for the sake of the gospel, see, and so Timothy was having the same drive, the same desire. He didn't say, you know what? Fine, I'll do it. For the sake of reaching people, he did it. I love that. And I think Paul would have jumped around a monkey suit to reach people who jump around in monkey suits. Okay, whatever. He didn't care. He was willing to be embarrassed. He had no pride. It's like, whatever, I will do it. You want me to be? I'll do it. Just hear me. Hear the gospel. That's the kind of drive we want to have, isn't it? And so I think what we learn here is, one, to consider what is primary and what is secondary. So important. I think far too often we divide ourselves over secondary issues. We consider things that are really secondary and make them primary. And sometimes we take things that are primary and make them secondary. And we have to make sure we are just wisely considering what those things are. I found myself more as I'm getting older, you know, and like Sherry mentioned, next week, got that big 5'5" staring me in the face. But I see myself more and more as I've come to know God, as I study His Word more and more, and you know, go through seminary, you learn all kinds of things. You'd think, you know, that maybe I would just really become firmer, that my understanding is such that I'm really, really secure and really staunch on my views of whatever doctrine you want to put before me, right? That tends to not be the case. There are things I understand more, but there's so much I'm going, wow, Lord, this is more complex than I thought. And I'm just much more gracious. I tend to be anyway. I think back when I was younger and just how stupidly stubborn I was in certain things. How judgmental, you know, over silly things. You know, how I would like, if someone smoked a cigarette, I was like, please, how could I even be saved? Right? Ridiculous. Now I'm like, yeah, it's pretty stupid, but whatever. Right? I mean, and that's what we want to encourage each other with, is to be wise and distinguish what is really primary, what is really secondary, and again, be willing to give up myself for the sake of others. The kingdom of God and the gospel should be the focus, whatever my thoughts may be. You know, I don't like the color of a carpet. Okay, so what? What does it mean in reaching the gospel? You know, the songs we sing, the music we play, whatever. I could care less. How is it in reaching people and the kingdom of God and the gospel? Is it a stumbling block? Is there something we can do? Really, every decision we make as a church, as people, can be put through that frame. Not of what I like necessarily, not what's important to me. I mean, I like hymns, I don't like hymns, or I like a certain way, I like how it looks. The pastor stands here behind the pulpit, the pastor has a mic and I can walk around. Who cares? Are people hearing the gospel? And in hearing the gospel, are they seeing us and how we treat each other? We see here with Timothy that personal comfort and our desires for comfort and these kinds of things submits itself to the will of God in the proclamation of the gospel. Are we willing to be uncomfortable? Timothy was certainly uncomfortable in his willingness to share the gospel. I think we're seeing here in both these stories of Paul and Barnabas, and then Paul and Silas and Timothy. Some see it as a conflict between mission and people. And it's either or. Either you're people, and that's who you care about, or you're mission people, and that's what you care about, and the two don't meet. And that's silly. Okay? The gospel does not see people like that. We are mission people. We are people. We are compassionate people. We are wise people. We are driven people. And those two things should not conflict. They may have a little rough relationship once in a while, but we keep them together. Our mission and people and compassion and grace. We are grace and we call out sin. And they are together. And that's not an easy thing at all. And we fail. I failed. I've been judgmental at people because of sin or issues like that. I've been overly lenient with someone who maybe needs to be called out. Maybe even myself. But the gospel tells us and points us the direction of submitting all of ourselves, all of our desires, our selfishnesses, and submitting it to God. And we're going to see coming up now as Paul tries to move on, as he strengthens the churches and he tries to move on, a conflict of his desires and God saying, maybe I want you to do something else. But here, you're seeing a desire to push forward no matter what. The glory of God and His kingdom. And so that is our question. Trinity, us, as we come together every Sunday, as we do things, as we come up to a Good Friday service and Easter and coming into summer and think about activities and what can we do, what do we want to do, and what things need repaired and what needs to be cleaned and fixed and all of it, right? How we live together. You know, all of that is submitted to the cross of Christ and the glory of God and the grace of God with each other. And that is what we want to see as we move forward in our life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You again for Your graciousness in our lives. Lord, please forgive us. We are sorry. We know that we are often at odds with each other over things that maybe are secondary. I pray, God, that within this church, that your Spirit would enlighten our hearts, would dig into those deep places and show us how we can best glorify you in promoting your kingdom and your gospel in our spheres of influence, in home, and work, and in our town here, in all places that we are. May you be glorified. Help us, Lord, to see and live for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.